time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, November 6th, folks. It's finally election day.
Yeah. I don't care.
You're like extremely enthusiastic.
I'm like, thank God it's over. I'm so sick of people talking about it.
I know. For 2 years, man, we've been going.
Yeah, and I'm sick of people handing me stupid cards that I'm like never going to do anything with. I just throw them on the ground.
Really? What kind of cards? Do you vote for them or what?
I take that back. I don't throw anything on the ground. I throw them away.
Okay. What kind of cards
do you get? Vote for this. Prop this. Prop that. Like, dude, your stupid card's not going to make me change my mind any other way. Like,
right. And you know, some causes are only important to the people that handle them, you know. I mean, who cares, you know? But there's some propositions that, you know, I don't know. I didn't really get into it. I kind of went over it quickly and stuff. And there's some things that I'm not really concerned about. So I'm just not going to vote on those particular things.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not informed about them. So I don't know. But
So you didn't vote this morning?
Not yet. Okay. No, I'm planning to go this afternoon.
How long do they stay open till like 6?
I think 7.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
7 or 8. Yeah, 7, I think.
And is it like post office and local schools? I haven't even looked this up. Like,
really?
What's the time to go when no one's there?
Didn't you get that little booklet in the mail? Because
no.
It tells you where your polling place is.
I have no idea. I actually haven't been to my mailbox in like 2 weeks.
Really?
When were you supposed to get it?
I think last week we got it, two weeks ago or something.
I haven't gone there.
But at the same time, it'll tell you where your polling place is, so you better find out, because you can't go just anywhere, you know.
That's retarded.
It's going to be near your house somewhere. Because they have lists of people.
Oh, you know, and see,
so
I don't even, my address is not my house, so.
Yeah, and you got to vote at your own district too, you know, because,
So that's awesome. So I have to go all the way to Bumfuck today.
Yeah.
Great.
Why? It's near your house.
No, it's not.
No?
No one knows where I live. I have an address.
Oh, you registered like somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
I do it because I have stalkers.
Yeah.
That's
the cost of being famous.
I really like when people go there, though, and they actually think it's like my address or something, because like the people that have the place like tell me.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that's really weird. And then I start thinking, like, when I go and pick up my mail or my boxes, I'm like, is there anyone like creeping around the corner that I should like be aware of? Creepy.
You worry too much.
Well, I've had reason. I had a dude in my closet.
That's
do you not
true,
remember
yeah.
this story?
I do.
A dude in my closet.
Yeah.
That is weird. I was actually like, we were laughing because I was like, well, my birthday's coming up and we're going to have a party again, obviously. And I usually do like my big charity event or whatnot. But I'm thinking I might want to have another house party like I did last year.
Mm.
Except this time I'm hiring security.
Really? Good
well,
for you.
Well, I have to. My car got stolen that night. And the guy was in my closet, a stalker, in my closet for 3 hours.
That's true.
And all my things got peed on. And, like, oh, it was just such a weird, crazy, like, Hannibal Lecter-looking weird story.
Yeah.
That it's like, and I kind of was like, maybe I should just joke and we should call it, like, The Creeper in the Closet Party Part 2.
Yeah.
Minus
hopefully it
closet.
Won't happen again.
Yeah, no, it won't.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
having security
pretty scary,
this time.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, and that's the thing, like, the guy got away with a lot of it because the fact that it was a house party and I was serving alcohol. So the fact that he went in my closet and peed everywhere and did other things that came out of that area.
Of his penis.
They were like, well, you're serving alcohol and those things happen when people drink. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's lewd, like, behavior. Like, well. And then they were like, well, it's not breaking and entering because you had a party unless you had a door person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn it. So I'm just going to hire someone to sit there with a stupid list.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird, you know?
So
because,
weird. I mean, we had so many people there. I mean, I had like over 200 people in my house.
Wow.
Like, it was insane.
Yeah,
was
it's hard to keep track of everybody.
Yeah, I didn't. Plus, I was wasted. It was my birthday. Why wouldn't I be? If only, I mean, thank God I was, because if I was sober, I don't know how I would have reacted to the guy in my closet. Yeah. I was pretty cool about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I called 911 and I freaked out when the cops got there, but I was like, I was calm, Bridgetta. I wasn't like attacking the guy and like gonna murder him. I was more like, you're sick and twisted, and I don't even know, like, I'm disgusted right now. Get away from me. Don't look at me. Like, I didn't want to be in the room. I was like, I got to be in another room. I can't. I'm so creeped out.
Mm-hmm.
So weird. Watching me for 3 hours in my closet.
Wow.
So creepy.
I know. So I know. Creepy. At least you weren't there alone, you know?
Thank God.
Yeah,
thank God. That's what I was, like, thinking of. Like, thank God my friend was in my room with me, because if he had left, I would have gone to sleep, been like a drunk sleep, and then, I mean, I don't think this guy would have done anything. He's more of like a watcher. But I would have woken up to some guy like standing over me, I feel like. That would have been weird. Then I would have murdered him. I would have snapped his neck in two.
Yeah.
I'm crazy when it comes to that. But like, I don't know, I handled it pretty well. I was actually proud of myself. I'm like, I'm just gonna take it all in, and I don't know what's happening here. But it was nuts.
Yeah.
That was the craziest thing. Oh. Weird.
Yeah, it was weird. You know, I mean, it's pretty scary being a woman sometimes.
Yeah, I took my car and, like, I don't even know how that happened. That was, thank God for LoJack.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the craziest thing ever. Yeah.
So you were able to find the car?
Yeah. Oh. Well, like, thank God for LoJack. Like,
right.
Oh, my God. Like, if you guys don't have LoJack, like, I don't know what, I would have no car.
Yeah.
But basically, what LoJack does is the police find it, and there's a tracking system. So right. They send helicopters out, and the helicopters can track it into a 5-mile. I learned all this. Yeah. I didn't know they sent helicopters out. They send it out, and they track it into a 5-mile radius. And then they send squad cars into that radius, and they just keep going because it's a beeping system or whatever,
right.
Or like some kind of thing. And then they just kind of, they have to drive on every street until it gets louder or something, and
really?
Then they find it. And then they sit there and wait and like scope it out and and then wait. They were like, you can come here, or we can like impound it for you and come grab it later. I'm like, no, I'm gonna grab it now.
Yeah.
While you're there.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. That was so weird.
Yeah.
And then I had to get my whole car rekeyed because my keys were gone. Like, he took the keys.
Yeah.
Guy is so creepy. Oh. Anyway.
Yeah.
Enough of that. How did we get to this topic? I don't even know.
Because we were talking about parties.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Security and things like that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm excited to plan another party.
Yeah. I'm sure. What
this
the
time
heck?
I don't know, because I'm so, like, carefree, and I, like, trust people. And I'm like, it's my house. Like, who's... And that's another thing. Like, how did he find where I live? I don't know.
Yeah. Today it's easy. Today it's easy to find out everything. There's
no
privacy.
Turn your location off
on
your Twitter.
Yeah. Turn it off everywhere.
I know. I have no location, like, tagged on anywhere. I'm like, no way. I'm not. I can't. Freaky.
Yeah.
Freaky does it.
I know. So, okay, well, there's a few things I wanted to discuss, but we have a very special guest in the studio, so we might as well bring him in. And we have Tyler in the studio. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Get a little closer to the mic. And Bridgetta, go ahead and introduce him to us. Have you talked to him before at all?
Well, I think I found, like, the ad of everything that was going on Facebook, believe it or not, and then I contacted them. And there's an LA wine event that's coming up on this Saturday, November 10th, and I'll let him tell all about it. But I was like, I like wine. I love wine. And this sounds really cool, and I want to tell everyone about it. So,
okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. So so go ahead, tell us about the event.
Yeah, so the event is called Wine Riot, and the whole idea is that you can come to a wine event. It's a large-scale wine event. We attract about between 1,500 and 3,000 people, depending on the city.
Wow.
And we have 250 wines, and you can come and try wine from every region in the world, and you don't just sip them and try them, you can actually learn about them from experts.
That's
right.
Awesome.
Now, so how are you related to this? Do you have like wine background, or obviously you do?
Yeah, I do have a wine background. For a number of years, I wrote about wine, and it's a really funny thing because you don't get paid a whole lot of money, but they fly you around the world.
That's
awesome. Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
so
that's cool.
Yeah, so I got to travel around Europe and all over like California.
How awesome.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool experience, and then you learn a ton about the different products.
Right.
You know, but the biggest thing I found was like there was a huge gap in the in the market here in the United States where you have a lot of young people drinking wine, but they don't really know a whole lot about it.
Nope.
Right.
And so aside from like reading a 1,000-page book or taking a $1,200 class,
right.
You're like, oh, I don't know, wine, I'll buy it.
Exactly. Oh,
right.
Sounds good. Yeah.
So are you the organizer of the event?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Now, do you have how are you related to wine other than writing? I mean, do you have like a business?
Well, yeah, our business is called Second Glass, and our primarily what we do is we throw large scale like wine tasting events. These events, Wine Riot. So we do it in 6 cities across the country, and we've already thrown 5 of them this year. And that's our last stop is here in LA.
Where were the other events at?
We started off the year in Boston, and that's actually where we launched the company originally.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of like our company's hometown. So we started in Boston, and then we moved on to Washington, D.C., Chicago. We did New York, San Francisco, and then here in L.A.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Now,
see in his house.
Yeah. Why did you start it in Boston? Is that where you were living at the time?
Yeah, I was living in Boston, and Boston has like the perfect market. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 1 in 3 people in Boston are under the age of 30. So there's a ton of young people, and it's one of the top wine markets in the country. So they drink a ton of wine. But again, you have this highly educated demographic of people that like to learn things and no place to learn about wine that's affordable.
Right.
Exactly.
I was under the impression that older people were drinking wine. Is that not the case? You're talking about younger people.
I'm talking about younger people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the biggest growth in the market over the last, I believe the last 4 or 5 years, 46% of the growth in the industry comes from people under the age of 30.
So it's interesting.
It's quickly becoming the number one, demographic.
Right.
I do drink wine. And I like, to pair my wines with certain dinners and whatnot. I mean, I'm a whiskey girl.
Yeah.
Actually liquor,
okay.
But I do like my wines. And, this is like so long ago, like way back in the day, I used to know a lot about wine because I worked for this company called Reliable Liquors, which was on the East Coast, and they represented like a lot of wine companies. Mm. I was young. I was like 21, 22. I don't even know if I was that, actually. I might have even been younger. Anyway, but yeah, I worked for them and I learned a lot and it was amazing. And then I just kind of forgot all of like the knowledge.
You forgot it?
Yeah. I mean, not everything, but it's been so long. Like I don't really pay attention to anything anymore. It's been like over 10 years.
Yeah.
So, but I will say that when I was in Australia, I kind of got back into it again. I'm like, this is so great. Like I love going to all like the wineries that were over there and I had a blast, like a Hanging Rock area. I don't know if you know that area or not, near Melbourne.
Okay.
And I loved it. And I was, and I don't know, so I kind of get involved in it again. And then I went up, I write for a hotel site. So then I went up north, this is a couple months ago, like what, 8? Do you remember when I went up north and did all the wineries?
Yeah.
I wrote about it anyway.
A few months ago.
Yeah. Why? I guess it was like April or May. It was like spring. Anyway, I guess it was longer than that. But whatever. Yeah, and so I started getting back into it again, and I'm like, you know what, I kind of want to learn more again. It's been so long, and I just want to know more. I want to know what's in, what's not, and,
right.
What else is out there.
Yeah, and we've had a wine expert here before, so,
not with me.
No, okay, we had that person on the line, on the phone, remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that woman that had a wine company.
That's
up
Wine
north.
Away. Yeah. That erases
exactly.
Wine.
Oh, okay.
That's different. There's a company actually that, you guys
wait a minute.
Partner.
We had someone here with wine. We talked about wine for a whole hour. I remember that. But
me.
No, that's cool. So give us, we'll learn some more information because it's fascinating.
It wasn't with me. It was Wine Away though. But I will say, I want to tell you about Wine Away because you guys should partner up. Like, no joke, they are a company that, if you spill red wine on you, and given if you're wearing a white shirt, like, you're going to spill red wine if you're drinking it. It's just like a given.
It
like
happens.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
White shirt equals red wine spilling all over the place, right?
Yep.
Always happens. So she's got this spray that's amazing, and literally, I discovered it when I was up in Paso Robles, and I got it all over me, and I sprayed it, and look, within like seconds, it was gone.
Huh.
It was amazing. Mm. So she, there are products up there, but like they're awesome. Like you guys should definitely like, I'm going to like email so you guys can link up. But it's amazing because like, I don't know, I'm like blown away by this company. I'm like, I'm going to spray it on everything.
Yeah,
it worked
that's
on
true.
Chocolate. It worked on like any stain, but the wine thing is what she markets it to the best.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's where they should be at the event, you know?
You should. See?
So now I'm seeing here, you guys are talking about a mobile app and everything. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, so one of the biggest problems when you go to a wine tasting event, right? There's 250 wines and you can try 20, 30, 40 different wines, and you wake up the next morning and you're like, what did I have? And it's not, it's not just because like you're drinking a lot. It's because, try 5 German wines and the names are like, 90 characters long. Exactly. And you're like, what was that? So we created a mobile app and we preload every wine that's in at the event, organize it by booth. No, you just mark it 2 thumbs up, 1 thumb up or no thumbs up.
Huh.
So you just like, say, oh, I'm at booth number 17. You pull up booth 17.
Cool.
All the wines are there. And then you have it with you forever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's... Okay, I'm going to download it.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to the event. Nudging.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
The event is Saturday, November 10th,
yep,
right?
Yep, and we have two different sessions. One is from, like, 1 until 5 in the afternoon, and then one from 7 to 11.
I would do the
Okay,
night.
So that's this Saturday,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's coming up fast.
Wow.
And where is it located?
It's downtown L.A., so it's at Majestic Halls, which is, like, Spring and 6th.
Okay. And everyone can go
Pershing
to,
Square.
So they can talk about, what's the website right now?
Secondglass.com, and then you just do /wineriot.
Awesome.
So or you can just Google it and it comes right up.
Yeah. I know, I found it on, thank God for your Facebook thing. Because there was like a little ad on the side, and I was like, click, I'm going to click on here. Wow, this looks awesome. I want to go. And I want to know more. And I'm like, you know, I think too is like, so many of my friends drink wine as well, but we do want to know more. And there's like... I mean, I like reds, but only... So, I mean, I like whites. That's my thing. I like sweets. But I've tried reds, but I'm so picky that I don't know enough about it.
Well, it's confusing as crap, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, you have... There's 9,000 wineries in the United States, and there's about 35,000 wineries that sell wine here.
Yeah.
It's totally ridiculous.
Like, so much.
Yeah. So, like, you go to the store, and you're like,
What?
Yeah. You know, and
like,
there's...
How do you pick
where
it?
Do you start?
Yeah, and there's little tricks, right? And so you don't need to become a wine... People think that they have to be a wine expert to drink wine, or they're like, "Oh, I don't know if this is good or not." And that's kind of like going and seeing a live band and being like, "Well, I don't play guitar, I don't know how to sing, I can't read music. Oh, but I don't know if this band is good or not because I'm not an expert in music." You're like, "No, you like it or you don't."
Right.
You know, and then there's some tricks you can kind of pick up on it and try to figure out, like, you know, how to buy better wine.
What would be some tricks?
So there's a couple different things that you kind of want to like look for, right? You know, price, first of all, price is not directly related to quality.
Mm-hmm.
So just because it's a $50 bottle of wine doesn't mean...
It could suck balls.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So price is not a good indicator of
price
quality.
Price is a terrible indicator of
That's
quality.
That's good to know.
Wow. You know,
because I don't know. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to buy a nice bottle of wine for someone, bring to a party,
I know.
I have
spend
no
100
idea.
Bucks.
I like cake bread. But I mean, then again,
that's not cheap.
I know. I'm not paying for cake bread to your party. That's for me.
Yep.
I might bring it for myself.
I brought you this $9 bottle.
Exactly.
I'm going to drink this.
I have cake bread.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't know. I'm going to buy, like, I bring something. And so I'm like, oh, I have no idea what to pick out of here. So this is nice. Price range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some cool, you know, like, one big thing that's going on right now is because, you know, wine is so confusing. If you buy wine from weird regions, there's a good chance it's going to be like better price to quality ratio. Like,
got it.
Like Portugal is like totally killing it. You know, like German wine's awesome because nobody can read the labels.
Right.
You can't, you know, you can be like, everybody drink cake bread. Whereas you're like, everybody drink,
Wiener
I don't,
schnitzel.
Yeah, like, you know, so it's a huge problem for Germany, but we win, you know, because we get it, the wines are cheaper. Like Austria, like we have a huge booth with, you know, like Austrian wines and like...
I like their wines. Usually.
Yeah, it's awesome and you can't pronounce anything, but they're, you know, like they have like what, Grüner Veltliner is you know, so that's kind of like the tricks and that's how we set up our event too. So you can discover these different regions.
That's awesome.
Right. Now, are there like brands where you can tell right away what you're drinking, or you have to have the label there, right? Because there's so many types of wine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like here in the United States, we go mostly by grape, you know? So we talk about like, oh, this is Cabernet, this is Merlot. And that's just the way that we've decided to talk about it. Mm-hmm. In reality, if it says Cabernet, it could be 30% any other kind of grapes that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bad. That's just how the wine world works. Whereas in Europe, everything's done by region.
Right.
And so they don't name the wines by grape. It's only by region. So, you know, if like if you get a Bordeaux, a red Bordeaux from France... That is basically like what we have in Napa Valley. It's like it's Cabernet and Merlot.
Right.
And, you know, and so that's, you kind of want to like figure out a couple of those things and discover kind of like, oh, I like red Bordeaux. And the nice thing about that is like, you know, if you go to California and you go up to like Napa, you taste a Cabernet, you can drive across the street, taste a different producer's Cabernet, and it's completely different.
Yeah.
Really?
It doesn't work like that in Europe.
Yeah.
It's like if you get a Bordeaux, it's going to taste like Bordeaux.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if it's different wineries.
Yeah, there's really strict laws in France that like tell them you have to plant these grapes, you have to plant them this far apart, you can't water them, they have to, you can't fertilize them, or you can only fertilize them with X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And so the government regulates all of that to make sure that they have consistent products in the region.
Right.
Interesting.
And here they don't, right?
It's kind of a free-for-all here. There are some rules, but they're like more like loose guidelines.
Right.
interesting. Yeah.
I mean, I don't see why they'd have to legislate the distance between the graves and stuff, you know?
Well, you can do whatever you want in Europe. Yeah. You just can't put that name of the region on it. So if you want to call it Bordeaux, you have to follow these rules. Otherwise, you can do whatever you want.
Right. Yeah. So it's sort of like predictable for the consumer, you know? They know what they're getting.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is really helpful, you know?
Right.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So how did you get into wine?
I kind of stumbled into it. I randomly moved to France, like most people do, chasing a girl. And
a French girl.
No, it was an American girl.
An American girl.
And so I didn't know anything about wine, but I drank a lot of it. And then I moved back to the United States, and I started working at a wine shop just like two nights a week in Boston. Like, I was bored. I had a day job. I'm like, I can get a discount on booze.
So many of my guy friends did this back in the day.
It's awesome. It's a great deal. Yeah. But then I actually, you know, I started seeing like all these young people coming in at night and they were buying a lot of wine. And, you know, during the day you had like the old men that were like, I'm going to buy a $400 case of wine. But they only did that every 3 months.
Right. Yeah.
And young people like my age were coming in and buying three bottles a night, you know? And I was like, these people need information. Yeah. And meanwhile, I started like just getting into wine. It was fun, you know?
Right.
It's like a dorky, cool, like,
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, do you think younger people also get into the types of wine and things like that, or is it more just to get drunk?
It isn't, actually. And that was the big gamble I made with my company was, you know, you look at all these wine brands and they're like, young people, will just throw them in a room with some booze and hopefully they'll buy ours. And I was like, no, we're going to go a complete other direction with it. We're going to go education. Let's teach people about wine. We're going to build an educational wine event, where the point of coming is to learn. Like, if you just want to come to my event and get drunk, there's cheaper ways to get drunk. You know? Like, tickets are only $50, but still, like, you go to the liquor store, you can get a couple handles of vodka for $50.
Right.
So I took the gamble that people wanted to learn and really be educated. And, I mean, we moved 15,000 people through our event this year in all the different cities. We sold out New York with 3,000 people, and they came to learn.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know,
yeah, I would imagine there's a lot to learn about wine.
I find, you know, a lot of my friends, they like, you know, we're all very picky, like what we like. And I don't really know a ton about it. Neither does any of them. Well, a few do. But but once you like, you know what you like, they become snobby in a way. Like, you know, I'm a sake snob.
Which is awesome.
Like, I will not drink certain sakes. Mm-mm, no way. And if it's brewed like this way, you don't drink hot sake. Who drinks hot sake? Disgusting. Anyway, so like, whatever, that's a whole other story. When it comes to that, I'm very like snooty.
Yeah.
And a little bit with whiskey, a little bit, not as much. But with wines, there's like wine snobs everywhere. Like, I have so many people that I know. Yeah, but once you know what you like, you know, you kind of, you want to know more about it. And I want to kind of fit into that realm too. So I want to learn.
So what is a wine snob? I mean, they feel like they know better than you, or they only go with certain expensive wines?
I used to laugh because it would be this whole like, let's grab the glass, let's swish it around. I really don't know why I'm swishing it around, but everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to do it too. And then, you know what I mean? I used to laugh at everyone who does that because I'm like, I'm not going to be that person that does that unless I know why I'm doing it.
Yep.
But I want to learn why I'm doing it. You know, I don't want to be the one, because you look around and you're like, they really don't even know why they're doing
it. Yeah, they're just copying other people.
I saw it in a movie once, so let me just swish it around.
Well, yeah, and like,
smell it like this.
And they give everybody such a bad rap. Like, it's like really like a problem for the industry. You know, it's like you go out to and hang out with that snobby music friend, and it's just like, oh, you haven't heard of this band?
Well,
I can't. I can't ever talk to you. And you're like, well, maybe if you could just be like, oh no, I heard this really cool band. Do you want to, you know, like, there's a way of doing it without kind of being like a dick about it. Like, and anybody, it's funny because like, you know, winemakers, right? They have to be the most knowledgeable people about wine because they make the product.
Right.
Right.
If you go to a winemaker's house and you actually become friends with them, not just like going on a press trip, like you drink crappy beer with them. That's what that's what most winemakers drink. It's like they drink like whiskey or beer. And because like they're like, I drink wine all day. Why should I drink wine at my house?
Right.
And you know, like the amount of times like I've hung out with winemakers like drinking warm Bud Light, you know, and everyone's like, that's what you do. I'm like, that's how it works, because they're not they're not like, oh, I only drink really expensive wine. Right, you know, right. They actually, that's not how it works.
Right. Now, how did the, I guess the alcohol appears there where? Like during the fermentation?
Yeah, so basically what happens, like how you make wine, is you get some grapes.
Because you don't add alcohol like you do to other drinks,
no,
right?
No, you don't. Yeah. No, you get grapes, you crush them.
I want to stomp them so bad.
Yeah.
Really? I really do. Yeah. I really do. You have to like tell me where I can go and do this.
There's a bunch of places. That, there's like a this. 1 or 2 week window when they harvest, because like they only, you get one product a year.
Right.
You know, because it's really like agriculture. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you crush the grapes into juice, and then yeast, you put yeast into it, and the yeast eats the sugars and poops alcohol.
Oh, really?
And that's it.
Wow.
And that's how it works.
You reword that.
Well, it does. Like, alcohol. That's how it works. These little things are like chomp, 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 and like alcohol and carbon dioxide.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not the grapes alone, but you have to have the yeast in there.
Yeah. And that's why wine is kind of a magical product, because the yeast actually grows on the outside of the grapes. So if you just got some grapes and you put them in a bucket and forgot about them for 6 months, you'd have booze.
Really?
So it would be terrible booze.
But you'd have it.
But you'd have it. Yeah. And there's a lot of wineries that are using that yeast on the outside to do their fermentation and to do the whole, like, the process.
Isn't it like, my dad was telling me this a while ago, like, Two Buck Chuck, for example, who's like, you know, they're so well known because it's $2 wine. And it's so good. They've won so many awards. And it's because they take the remnants, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, they take the remnants and all, like, the grapes that no one else wanted, and they're not good grapes. So he takes them all, and he's like, fuck it, I'm going to mix it together and make my own wine. Yeah. And he did. Yeah. Is that how, like, basically...
Kind of.
I don't really know if I'm telling it right or not, but...
Well, so there's so many rumors about it. There's a really good article, I think it was in, like, The Atlantic, like, 10 years ago, that kind of, like, outlined how it was made. Two Buck Chuck, I mean, yeah, it's, like, not bad wine, and then for $2 it's pretty decent.
I like it.
They buy juice from wineries that are going out of business or they're, I mean, so I'm a big fan of like supporting like the small local farmers and like small businesses, right? Of the 9,000 or 8,000 wine, I think it's 8,500 wineries in the United States, 95% of them are small family run businesses.
Right.
You know, and, you know, especially abroad, they're almost all small family run businesses. There's only a handful of big companies. And, you can get really good wine for like $7 or $8 that's made by a family, or you can buy corporate mass produced, you know, like Two Buck Chuck, which is like, it's not that's totally fine, you know.
Right.
It's like kind of like the Bud Light of the
McDonald's of food, you know.
But I thought in a way it was like kind of like he was just smart about it, like
I mean, he's making a ton of money, so he's definitely smart about it.
I was like, that's kind of, I don't know, anyway, all right.
Yeah, it's like going to McDonald's, you know, for food, you know.
Well, yeah, they got the process figured out and it works, you know. But they do kind of like buy, because every winery in the country makes more wine than they have. And if you want to get some like higher end versions, like Cameron Hughes is one of the producers that comes to our event, and they buy overstocked wine from high end wineries.
So it's a lot better.
Charge half the price, and then they don't tell you which winery they got it from.
Ah.
So you could be drinking cake bread.
Right, and you don't know.
But you paid half the price.
That's fine. Let me try it. Sign me up.
They do a seminar. We have these little 20-minute seminars at our events where you guess the price of the bottle. They pour three bottles, one that's like $8, one that's $30, and one that's $80. And then you have to guess which one is like which.
Yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Like a taste test type of a thing.
Yeah, and you don't know. And so like a lot of people are like, I think this $8 one's the best. And they actually win.
Yeah.
Because if that's your favorite, awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty
true,
rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing is, I think the taste buds can't really distinguish between prices, you know. I mean, it's like it goes based on the taste, whatever you like, you know. Even if that taste works for you, then who cares how much it costs?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, and especially if it's really cheap, then you win.
Exactly. See, I like iced wine. That's like my favorite.
Really?
Oh, I like it. It's so sweet.
It's like super
so
syrupy
good.
And sweet.
I love it.
It's awesome.
So
it's
good.
Really good.
I love Moscato, too.
Yeah, Moscato is good, huh?
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that like a dessert or like an appetizer type of wine?
That would be a port, which I like the ports, too. That's a dessert wine. See, I like all the dessert. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like candy. Like, give me that.
Yeah.
Like Moscato is it's a grape that originally came from Italy, and we actually have one of the producers called the Quadi Winery, and Andrew Quadi started making Moscato here in California I think back in the 70s. So he's like the original California Moscato guy.
That's
and it's,
cool.
You know, like there's a lot of Moscatos that are like $6 a bottle, but these ones are more like $20 a bottle. Mm-hmm. But the quality is there. Like you'd love them. They're like super sweet, but they're awesome. They're
really good.
Right.
Quality.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. Usually we have them like before dinner and it's pretty good, even though it's sweet and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Before aperitif, like you have it before dinner. I mean, who cares? Drink it whenever you want.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
I buy a port and I have it before people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know what? It's good. And you drink what you're drinking. And
I drink port all the time.
Exactly. But I hate when you go to like these nice, like, I'm like, I'm not following what they're doing. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this one here.
There really are no rules.
See, and that's what I say. But sometimes you go to these fifi events, and I guess they're the ones that are swishing, and they have no idea why.
Yeah. Either like, that or this doesn't go with red wine, this doesn't go with white wine. How can you tell? I mean, is there like, you said there's no rules, but yet it seems like people know
they do.
What food goes with what wine.
Like, meat would be red. You don't drink white wine.
Why? You see why?
I've done it, but like, I see why that, you know, red wine pairs better with meat and white wine pairs better with fish. Mm. I see why, but, I mean, it doesn't really matter. But
right. Yeah, I mean, the idea is, you know, it's like music, right?
Enhancing
like,
flavor.
You can play Skrillex when your grandmother comes over, but you might not want to, you know? And so, like, you can do whatever you want. The idea is you want to pair weights, right? So if you think about wine as, the body and like the light, medium, and heavy, and it's like milk, right? You know, skim milk would be light body, whole milk would be full bodied.
Right.
And you think about, you know, food as weights too. You have light food like salads and heavy foods like steak. And so the idea is you just want to kind of pair the weights. So if you have really heavy wine, really heavy food, bingo.
Right.
Okay. Oh, really? So it has to be heavy and heavy.
I mean, that works best.
Right.
You know, because the idea is you're trying to find these flavors that match, and there are other people whose jobs it is to pair these things up, because when you find the right food with the right wine, it can really be awesome.
Yeah,
really awesome.
It really does enhance. I mean,
yeah. Well, especially with like Italian wines. Like I've had so many Italian wines where you taste it and you're like, this is terrible.
Really?
And then you have it with food, you're like, oh my god, this is the best wine I've ever had.
Really? So it's makes a difference.
Yeah, like Portugal makes these wines that are super, super acidic. They're red wines and they're just like almost unpalatable on their own. And they actually drink them out of bowls. But if you have it with really, really fatty meat, the acid cuts through the fat and then it's really good.
Oh, see, that's interesting. I never realized that.
Yeah.
Like,
so red wine with meat and white wine with fish?
Basically, you can break the rules.
What do you eat with chicken? I mean, what do you drink with chicken then?
Light red.
Light red.
Light red or like a heavier white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how do you determine the weight of the wine?
Yeah, I mean, so there's some, you know, as you taste different kinds of styles, you can kind of like figure it out. And the best bet is to try to remember what you taste. Like Sauvignon Blanc is like a really light white wine, you know, and then you can drink like a Chenin Blanc, which comes from like Vouvray, or they make them South Africa, and that's like more medium. And so part of this is just kind of exploring and trying, you know, and tasting it and being like, what would this go well with? And you'd be like, oh, you know what? I would love to eat this with, you know, or like drink this with. And that's kind of, I mean, that's how I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So you mentioned South Africa. They have pretty good wines, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I lived there. They have the garden route there where they have all the wineries and everything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we went there, like, we took a little picnic basket. You know, you go there, you pay.
How fun.
Yeah. You pay. They give you a picnic basket and a couple of bottles of wine. And you just go and sit there on the grass and stuff. And it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I remember they would say that their wines are pretty popular.
Oh, yeah. And they're getting more and more popular, and they're getting better and better too.
Really?
They've been growing grapes there, I think, since the 1600s.
Wow.
So they've been growing grapes there forever.
Yeah.
And it's a really great climate, and now they're starting to become really popular.
Yeah. Now, when they say that Italian wine, French wine are better, is that true? I mean, because I heard in California we have wines that are just as good.
Oh, yeah. Right? Okay. So, you know, better, it's all what you think, right?
Right?
Everybody's got their own opinion.
Your taste, right.
You know, it's again, like coming back to the music thing, but like, you know, I think the wine's more based around situation than it is based around like what's the best wine ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so sometimes you just want to drink some PBR and you don't want to care about it. You know, and sometimes you want to kind of go fancier. You know, it's like I like Hank Williams and I like Skrillex and everything in between, you know, and like, that's totally cool. But there's a time and place for each one.
Right.
Right.
You know, and so like there isn't I mean, if you're French, you're going to say the French ones are the best. And if you're Italian, they're going to say the Italian ones are the best.
I'm going to say the Italian ones are the best. Thank you.
California definitely has world-class wine, though.
Right.
They did a tasting in 1976 where they paired the best French wines with the best California wines. And they had all French judges in Paris.
Oh, I heard about that. Actually.
Yeah, and the California wines won. Mm-hmm. And the French like freaked out. They were like, this cannot happen. Mm-hmm. But they redid the tasting 30 years later with the same exact bottles to see if they would age. And they had the same results.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Now, is it true, though, that the older the wine is, the better? Because sometimes I know people drink only like a two-year-old wine or something, or a year-old wine, and they say it's pretty good.
Well, yeah, you can drink older. Like, so, you know, aging wine doesn't make it better. It makes it different. Mm-hmm. And then you're just dealing, they're more expensive because you're dealing with supply and demand.
Right.
You know, there's not that many of these left. Also, almost like 98% of the wines that's produced now are not made to age. So if you just go to the store and buy a $15 bottle and age it for 4 years, it's going to taste like crap.
Really?
Yeah, because it's not supposed to do that.
Right.
The bottles that you can age are like 50 plus, usually.
And also has to do with the I learned about the corks and the caps that are on them as well.
Mm. Well, you can age wine with screw caps.
Can you?
Yeah, I was in France in the Loire Valley.
Yeah.
And Beaumarde is one of the premier sweet wine producers.
Mm-hmm.
And they make these really, really complex, amazing, sought-after sweet wines. And he's been using screw caps for, I think, 10 years. And we were at this dinner with all these producers, and he stood up and he said, and this is in France in a small town, he's like, if you're not using screw caps, you're an idiot. And he's like,
wow.
He's been aging wines for 30 years, and he says that they're brilliant.
Wow, that's interesting to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So people do buy California wines around the world too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Less so in Europe.
Because
they have their own and they're snobbish about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also like, you know, like when I lived in France, like I rarely paid more than €5 for a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Whereas when was the last time you bought a $5 bottle of wine that was like rock star here in the United States? You know,
right. True.
And especially once you import them and all that. But, you know, in Asia, they're really big. And in a lot of other countries, like, you know, England's got some more.
Right. Now, you mentioned there's like, what, 8,500 wineries in the country? Or
8,500. Yeah, 8,500.
Yeah. Wow.
Where are the majority are California-based, or are they just like literally out? I mean,
yeah. What other places in the country do people raise it?
So every state in the United States grows grapes and makes wine.
Yeah, like Maryland, we have a bunch near where I live.
Yeah, there's some. Virginia's got awesome wines. There's like 250 wineries in Virginia, and they make some really cool product. I think what people have forgotten over the years is that back in the 70s, if you said, oh yeah, I make wine in California, people literally laughed at you.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, it's impossible. You can't make good wine in California. And now that's what they're saying about other states. And
so
local wine is really like important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so like at all of our events, I mean, obviously here in California, it's easy to have local wine.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, Temecula, by the way, is amazing.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so in Chicago, we had a producer called the Illinois Sparkling Company, and they're making really awesome bubbly with grapes grown in Illinois.
Oh, wow.
And it was awesome. And then I become really good friends with a winery in Massachusetts, Westport Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
The sparkling wine they make is some of the best in the world.
Wow.
We did a blind tasting at our event in Boston where we had three bottles in paper bags. We had 50 people and we tasted them on it. And when we unveiled it, it was Dom Perignon, Veuve Clicquot, and then his sparkling wine.
I love Veuve. So
his one.
Interesting.
His one. The Massachusetts wine, Westport Rivers winery.
Westport Rivers. Okay. Huh.
Yeah, very interesting.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah,
I love Veuve.
It's half the price too.
That's even better because Veuve can get quite crazy.
So, let's talk a moment about champagne. Is that like carbonated wine, or is that like a whole different animal?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's bubbly. Yeah. It's carbonated, and there's a few different ways to do it. You know, like one is to like have the make. Because like I said, yeast eats sugar and poops alcohol, but also carbon dioxide, which can add the carbonation to it. So if you just like really get the cap on there tight, which they do, and then you age it for like a couple of years, it will ferment a second time in the bottle and put the bubbles in it.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So all of this is like self-occurring here. I mean, it's not like you have to carbonate it afterwards and things like
that. Yeah, I mean, the cheaper stuff is, but there's no reason to buy the cheaper stuff, you know, because you can, like Korbel is, like, I don't even know how much. It's pretty expensive, right? We have a producer, Freshenet, and they actually, like, flew me out there, and I toured their facility and, like, the winery out in Spain, It's $6.99 a bottle.
Oh my God.
It's all hand harvested by local farmers, and they put the carbonation in the bottle the traditional way. Mm. It's unreal. You can get a world class bottle of bubbly for $6.99.
That's amazing.
Why would you buy Korbel, right, which is probably like carbonated like soda? Like it's,
right.
That's true. Yeah. So that's one.
So this company Freshette, I mean, are they found in local stores though, or can you find them at BevMo?
They're everywhere. It's a black bottle. If you look at it, once you start looking for it, you'll see it. It's a black bottle.
Mm.
And it's in every single BevMo. It's in every single, most Safeways have it, like Ralph's have it. Like they make 100 million bottles of this stuff a year.
Wow.
So it's like it's flooded everywhere, but it's really good bubbly. And it's a family-owned business.
And then I'm wondering, too, like the cost of the bottles itself. Like I'm wondering, like, what are they really making off the product?
Not a whole lot. But if you make a lot of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly.
That's where my brain goes. Like, you know, I'm
thinking. With some products, I think the bottle is so important because you can't tell the difference on what's inside. So you go based on the bottle.
Yeah.
Like shampoos and, you know, things like that. And liquor, of course, you know. So they get creative with the bottles, definitely.
My friend owns a winery up near Temecula in Paso, and it's called Chronic Cellars.
Okay.
And it's really cool labels. It's like these Day of the Dead style block prints.
That's awesome.
And
that I would like.
And him and his brother, so he grows the grapes, and he does vineyard management. His brother makes the wine, and they've been in a winemaking family. And so his buddy does these block prints, and then they look at it and say, what would that wine taste like? And then they make a wine to match the labels.
Oh my God, that's so cool. See, that would be fun, because then you're like challenging yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's really high quality wines with these really badass labels.
Yeah. You know where I went that was actually really interesting too? It was way up north in Chico area. There was they're friars. They're like, they make their own wine.
Like monks?
Monks. They make their own wine, and they won an award for one of them. I can't remember what it's called, if I remember the name of the place, but it's up in Chico, so it's the only place up there that you can like Google, and it's like this monks, and I went there and like checked it out, and it was very spiritual and amazing, and they've only got, you know, a couple different wines, but they were good.
Wow.
They were really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess you got to know where to get it, and you know, and what you're doing and what you're drinking and stuff. And I would imagine people would learn that at the event this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea is you can come, mark the wines in the app,
yeah,
and then
awesome.
You have all these. And even if you can't buy that specific wine again, you know, you're like, oh, I really like this Malbec from Argentina, so buy another Malbec from Argentina.
So, okay, on the app, we go to iTunes and find it, or on the
it's on the Android store, and it's in the iTunes store. It's free. It's called Second Glass. Yeah, and you just download it, and it works at our event, so we preload all the wines.
I'm gonna do it right now.
Yeah, and you guys can actually download it from your website, right? Secondglass.com.
Yep.
Or WineRiot.com.
Sunglass.com/WineRiot. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because I clicked on the WineRiot one. So WineRiot.com is the easiest one.
It's not WineRiot.com. It's just like the Sunglass.com/WineRiot.
Oh, because that's what you guys wrote here. So, Please visit WineRiot.com. But you're right. The actual link is Sunglass.com.
Should probably change that.
You should probably change that. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to get into my app thing. I'll do it later. I'm like, I don't even know how to find it.
So you've thrown 5 events so far. This is the 5th one, you
this
said?
This year, yeah. I've been doing it for like 4 years now. So like all told, we've done 16 or 17 of these. I lose track.
Yeah. Now, how do you fund this? From the wineries, and also there's an admission charge?
Yeah, it's $50. Uh-huh. So you can come drink unlimited samples of wine for, you know, everyone's like, oh, you're only pouring 1 ounce. Like, if you drink 30 of them, you just drink a bottle.
Yeah, you don't want a lot of them.
Yeah, I know.
And also, I know when you go to wineries, they charge you as well to taste wine and stuff like that.
It's $5 tastings.
Yeah. So,
and if you buy
anything,
they usually waive it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's not unusual to charge for wine tasting. And
you know, we kind of took a business model that's been going on for hundreds of years, which is like this like wine tasting where people come, pay a little bit of money, and then they get to try all these wines.
Right.
But it's not just a wine tasting we have. You know, we have like we have this really fun photo booth you can come, like jump in. We have like tattoos that are really awesome. So like, I mean, you know, because like after you have a couple glasses of wine, people are like, I'll put on a fake tattoo.
Yeah.
And then they go in more and more ridiculous places.
Now it's spelled out the word second glass, not the number 2, right?
Correct.
Okay, I found it. Yay. Install. Anyway.
So when did you guys start Second Glass?
It was October of 2008, which was really terrible timing because 3 weeks later the economy collapsed. And the whole idea was to create like a way that young people and wineries could interact,
right.
You know, because like you have all these wineries and they are off in the middle of nowhere because they're farms, and then you have all these young people that are in cities, and there's not a good way for people to interact.
Right. And you founded this in Boston, you said, right?
Yeah, we were originally founded in Boston. Since then, we've moved numerous times.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you live here now?
As of Saturday, yes, I do.
Really?
Wow, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah,
thanks.
Welcome.
Yay.
We always could use new people here. We don't have enough.
Right?
So I have a question. How does the process go? Like, do people have to apply to be part of the event, like as far as a winery goes?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah, that's how it goes. So basically, we want to make sure that every region of the world is represented. And so, you know, it's invite only for the wineries. So we get contacted by a lot of people, but we want to kind of pick the best ones. And we also require that the wineries come and bring knowledgeable people.
Right.
Because they have to talk about the products. They have to be like really into it.
That's cool.
So, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. So we work with probably 450 different wineries throughout the last couple of years. And we rotate through.
I was going to say, do you rotate them and try new ones? Or
Yeah. We keep some that like are really awesome. And then, you know, and the wineries also want to rotate through because they might do it for a year and then be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to, you know, because for them, if they're going to do the whole tour, especially like it's
kind
of a commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's over 8,000 in the country. How many do you estimate in California? How many wineries?
Like 6,000 or so. Most of them are in
most
California.
Most of them in California. 6,000 wineries.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. A lot
who
of
needs so many?
What is it? Italy has 75,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, 8,500 versus 75,000, we don't really have that many.
Wow. Yeah. What competition, man.
That's, I know,
wow.
That's insane.
But everybody, you know, it's a lot of really small producers.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening here. And that's what's really cool is you have these a lot of people that are making small amounts of wine.
Right.
And then they can sell it locally. And, you know, I'm really excited for the next 10 or 15, 20 years as, like, all these different places around the country start making cool wine, and then you can just be like, well, I drink locally, which is what goes on
that's
in Europe.
Awesome.
Right, yeah.
Is Wilson Creek going to be there?
No.
Darn. It's so good. They have, no joke, like, it is literally, oh, they're so amazing. They make these little cups out of chocolate, and all their cups are chocolate, and then they have almond champagne. So you pour the almond champagne into the chocolate glass, drink it, and then eat the glass. And it's the most amazing party in your mouth I've ever had. Wilson Creek Winery in Tampa.
All right.
They're amazing.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, because I do this thing called the Reality Rally every year, which is like 200 celebrities that do an amazing race for charity around Temecula. So all the wineries become involved with us, and we do events at all the wineries around there. So we got to discover, and I love Wilson Creek because it's amazing. It's so good. And their almond champagne is literally like, I've never tasted anything better. Like, it's so good.
But really?
With these little chocolate, these little chocolate cups, and it's like, so good. Yeah, you have to try
that. You pour some port in there, too. That'd probably be really good.
I bet you it would. It would be so good. You gotta go there. You gotta check it out.
Yeah, totally.
I
get up there pretty regularly, so I'll go check it out.
Wilson Creek.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, if someone generally does not like wine, is there a way like to sort of like learn how to like it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's
develop a taste for it afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, like saying, you know, like there's so many different kinds of wine.
Yeah.
There's so many different kinds of wine.
You haven't found the right one,
then. Yeah, exactly. And you know, like maybe you don't like those dry reds, maybe you don't like fruity reds, but like, you know, I think a lot of people start into wine by trying sweet wines.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, like sweet wine kind of gets a bad rap. Everyone's like, oh, young people just like sweet wines. One, we were raised on Coca-Cola. What do you expect? And two, there's the most expensive white wine in the world is a sweet wine.
Right.
You know, see, like, there you go. And what is the most expensive?
Chateau d'Yquem.
Where do you get it?
Any place that will sell a $900 bottle of wine.
Oh, really? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, she needs to know what to demand from the next man.
No, I don't do that.
Most fancy restaurants.
Like, I just like to know. Like, I don't know.
No, most fancy restaurants.
Knowledge.
And there are some places that'll like sell you just like a glass of it, which is like $35, but it's really cool because then you can try it.
Yeah, and that's how I've discovered other wines before.
$35 a glass? Wow.
You know what, though?
But
I've gone to tasting things for whiskey and, you know, or tequila. And like, there's one tequila, actually it's Ambrosio, whatever. They have one that's like $80 a shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I've done it.
But it's the process, right? So like, these things are really expensive. Like Chateau d'Yquem comes from Bordeaux, and it's a Sauternes, which is a sweet wine, and mm-hmm. what they do is that there's this mold that grows only in the Sauternes region.
Wow.
It's called botrytis. They call it the noble rot, and it rots the grapes on the vine. It sucks up only the water. So when you crush the grapes, you only get that sweetness and the essence of it.
Wow.
So you only make like 1/10 or 1/20 the wine that you would normally make. So
right.
they have to charge a bajillion dollars for
yeah.
it.
Right,
and then they
right.
age it forever. So it costs
yeah.
a ton of money. But I was there and you eat these moldy grapes.
Whoa.
You're like, someone was just like, do it. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Like, do it. I'm like, I'm not going to do it.
You trip.
And then you put it, you put it in your mouth and you're like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever tasted ever. And then you just start eating all these moldy grapes.
That's so really? Funny. I don't know. And I'm thinking like moldy grapes. Mold usually makes you see things. I don't know.
This one didn't, unfortunately.
Okay. Darn.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank
yeah.
you.
Everybody check out Second Glass Wine Riot. And that's this Sunday downtown. What is the name of the place again?
Majestic Halls. It's at Spring and 6th Street.
Okay, cool. And what hours?
1 to 5 and 7 to 11. And the tickets are $50 and you can buy them on the website.
Sounds good. Yeah, and the website again, secondglass.com/wineriot. And everybody go check it out. We learned a lot about wine today.
Yep.
And
I'll post it on my Facebook too, so everyone can click on the link.
Sounds
awesome.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Tyler, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Enjoy
yeah.
the event, and everybody will see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.